Monash and Chevelle, How Australia's Two Great Generals Changed the Course of World History, written by Roland Perry and read by David Tredinnick. Introduction. One bullet from a Yugoslav nationalist on the 28th of June 1914 killed the heir to the Austrian throne and led to a billion more being fired over the next 53 months to the 11th of November 1918. In that time, about 10 million combatants and 7 million civilians were killed in what became known as the Great War. When Archduke Franz Ferdinand was slain, nations lined up on two sides, almost in some cases as if they could not wait to fight. The prince's death, it seemed, was a convenient excuse. Austria-Hungary delivered an ultimatum to Serbia. After a month, the Austro-Hungarians declared war on Serbia and invaded it. Russia mobilized in support of Serbia. The Germans were the most belligerent, having stepped up their preparedness over the previous decade with development and stockpiling of weaponry, particularly artillery. With victory in the Franco-Prussian War of 1870 fading from memory, it wanted fresh successes, conquests, and territorial gains. Germany lined up with Austria-Hungary to form the Central Powers. It invaded neutral Belgium and Luxembourg before moving towards France. The United Kingdom reacted by declaring war on Germany. These alliances drew in more nations as the war spread. Italy, Japan, and the United States joined the Allies, the United Kingdom and France, while the Ottoman Empire and Bulgaria joined the Central Powers. The war had three interwoven explanations. First, it was a lineup of empires all searching for control and survival in a changing world. Second, there was conflict within a family of royals, the grandchildren of the United Kingdom's Queen Victoria, Kaiser Wilhelm II of Germany, Russia's Tsar, Nicholas II, and the United Kingdom's King George V. Wilhelm II was the belligerent of the three, who imagined that his two cousins, in fact, most of the extended royal family, were against him. If these three had come to a rapprochement, war may have been avoided. But there was too much enmity between Wilhelm II and the others. There was no serious diplomatic will between them. They could not agree. Had Queen Victoria's son, King Edward VII, the so-called peacemaker, been alive, events may have been different. But he had died in 1910. Their nations went to war. A third factor was the old world of dictators and monarchies versus the growing, still fledgling new world of democracies. If the German military dictatorship won, the world would slip backwards into a dark period. If the British and French democracies emerged victors, then there was a chance that democracies would take a greater hold on progress. The United Kingdom drew on the resources of its vast empire, including 650,000 Dominion, former colonial, soldiers, who would fight in Europe and the Middle East. In Australia, 415,000 people, from a population of 4 million, were mobilised and employed in military service over the war's duration. Among them were two outstanding battle commanders who would lead the most successful armies of the war. One was Harry Chevelle, who led the 34,000-strong desert-mounted column in the Middle East, which consisted of 75% Anzac light horse. Chevelle was an empire man who considered himself as British first, Australian second. His attitude changed over the course of the war as he realised that no matter what was achieved, he would receive more lasting recognition in his homeland. The other